Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Wednesday, September 8th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. And then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry, show poultry, and sustainable living. I'd also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. I hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
When you need an incubator, think Brinsey, the incubation specialists. Brinsey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. They have incubators that hold anywhere from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. These durable, easy-to-clean, quality products come with a 2-year warranty and are the choice of backyard breeders through research establishments. Visit them online at Brinsea.com. Brinsea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brinsea.com, or call 1-888-667-7009. And don't miss out on Brinsea's September sale. Until the end of the month, you can save 20% or more on their full range of incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea. Technology you can trust.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is now time to bring on my lovely co-host, poultry advocate and author, and lady on the road this week. It's Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Yeah, hey, Whisper. Well, actually, I'm not on the road, but I am in Richmond, Indiana. I'm here at Friends Fellowship. It's where my mother lives. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. And I'm sitting in the chapel again. So here we are, chicken whispering in the chapel at Friends Fellowship. I'm feeling closer to God.
go ahead and pull out a hymnal. Go ahead and pull out a hymnal, Pat, and sing a few bars for us.
Oh, I wouldn't do that to you. I'm pretty good when it comes to clucking along, you know, like with the Christmas carols, but I'm not sure you want to hear Bring Me Closer to God in English. So we'll just leave it as it is. But maybe one of these days you and I can do a duet somewhere and we'll cluck in tune, a little toe-tapping kind of tune. Yeah. So it's wonderful weather here. Oh, my gosh. It's just like a perfect, another perfect day in paradise with the weather. And I'm going to log in here very shortly to the chat room. Got my computer set up. Looks like I got a signal, so I'm in good shape. How are you doing today?
I'm a little bit livid right now, and I'll tell you why when I get to our Chickens in the News, sponsored by Meyer Hatchery. But I'll read a little statement here, but makes me a little livid. I'm going to be writing a letter probably sometime this afternoon to this gentleman, and I'm going to invite him on the radio show to back up his statement with any type of documented proof. But so I'll be doing that here a little bit later. It comes that'll be Chickens in the News. But other than that, I'm doing pretty well. I must share with you yesterday. The video that was shot, I did last week. Remember, we canceled the show. I think it was on Tuesday, of last week. I went out and did a video shoot with, Darren Kagan, and she was a long time CNN anchor and reporter, and host there at CNN. And she does live here in Atlanta full time. And, she is a backyard chicken mama, as she calls it. And she has three hens. She's got a ISA Brown, a silver-laced Wyandotte, and an Americana. Yeah, Americana. And she has a really cool coop that she actually purchased from mypetchicken.com. And so great little backyard, and she's got three hens. Well, she brought them home from the farm. She went and purchased them at up in North Georgia. And she got a couple of eggs the first week. And, of course, we understand how that works. They've probably got those eggs already started going, probably have already dropped the yolks and started to form inside their little egg-making machines, if you will. And so when you take them from one environment to the other, those eggs got to come on out. So she did get a couple, but it's been about 6 to 8 weeks since she's had any eggs. And so she made call to the Chicken Whisperer. Well, the video was released on yesterday. We posted it on our Facebook page, and it was posted on Twitter. We'll try to get it up on our website. It's a really cute video. It's really, really cool. A lot of great compliments, and it's almost like a little mini episode of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Maybe we'll see on TV one day, but it's really, really cool. And the funny thing is, the really interesting thing is, we posted the video and we thought, hey, this is great. Someone, you know, commented on some of the comments I made, and I said, you know, we might want to give it about 30 days just with this new advice that I've given her to see if it may help them start producing some eggs. And lo and behold, not 2-3 hours after I had posted that comment, I got an email from Darren. I saw on her blog and on her Twitter post that lo and behold, yesterday she walked outside to her chicken coop and she had 2 eggs from the ladies. So it was quite impressive. I'm sure it's I want to say it was all of the Chicken Whisperers doing, and it was basically the little talk I had with them. Obviously, it's just a freak of nature, probably, that they now are laying, that she called the Chicken Whisperer, to be honest with you. But, you know, hey, I gave her some what I thought to be very good advice about how to get them back on track and laying, and lo and behold, a week later, she's got eggs now. So it was funny at first. And then, my wife told me, and actually Christine was like, uh-oh, looks like we're going to have to move out of the room. Andy's head's getting a little bit bigger today. So, but it was quite fun. And so she does now have eggs. But I'm going to tell everybody the secret. So you can try this on your own hens that aren't laying. Basically, I made the camera crew leave, and I made Darren leave, and I walked up, and I held each chicken individually, and I whispered into their ear, I said, Darren's either going to eat eggs or she's going to eat chicken, and it's your choice what she eats. And next thing you know, there's eggs everywhere.
You do have a way with the ladies, Whisper, I must admit.
so, folks, gosh.
That's
what you can do. Individually talk with them, hold them, caress them, and tell them that you're either going to eat eggs or chicken, and it's all in their hands, if you will, what you're going to eat. And it worked. Now she's got eggs. So that was a fun time. I'll post a video again today because I know Facebook is the unique individual, because I may post something twice yesterday, and based on your frequency on Facebook or when you tune in, you may not see it. So if you see it 3 or 4 times, just ignore it and go to the next post. But that's just the way Facebook is. Sometimes we have to post three or four things. So. But it was quite interesting. Yeah, it was that part was fun yesterday. So very interesting. I couldn't believe
Whisper, just a second here. This could be a $1 billion talent. You know, the industry will be calling you now to get on the laying hens, to start laying earlier and longer. So you might have a gift, an egg laying inducing gift that could be pretty valuable.
A gift that I never knew I had. How about that? Mom and Dad would be so proud.
Yes, indeed. Totally proud. Wow, this could be marketable. We got to get you some new publicity people. Additional publicity people to handle all the calls you're going to get.
Maybe now I can get a bee dazzler and decorate some of my overalls up real nice.
I think that would obviously induce them to lay even more when they see you coming with that Chicken Whisperer cap and your bibs. What hen could refuse that? I mean, it's just too much. Yeah.
I love it.
Oh,
it's
what
so
a hoot.
Funny. Yeah. Now everybody's going to be talking in the chat room about the Chicken Whisperer and his bedazzler he got from Walmart for $19.95. But, yeah, next thing you know, you just never know what's going to happen. Oh, my word. Talk about opening up a can of worms. But, yeah, so that was fun yesterday. Had a good time. I just can't believe yesterday, Pat, nobody knew. In fact, I'm starting to wonder. I think everybody just tunes in for the chat room. But nobody knew where I'm going to be broadcasting live this Saturday. So they didn't know the city or the state to win the awesome prize yesterday. We had a hen saver, hen apron we were going to give away. We're going to give away that on Facebook. I got a little tied up yesterday with conference calls and whatnot, but let me give that away as a Facebook fan contest today, but nobody knew. So right now I'm going to tell you, pay attention, ding, 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 because it may come up again in another trick and trivia later today or tomorrow or the next day. But just to remind everybody that normally is in the chat room and not paying attention to the radio show, we, of course, will be broadcasting live this Saturday, from the Northwest Georgia Poultry Club show. It's a double show. It is sanctioned by the American Bantam Association from, here we go, Calhoun, Georgia. Calhoun, Georgia. We'll be broadcasting live again this Saturday, so you can tune in. You can tune in, right, just like you are tuning in today. Tune in live 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time this Saturday from the Northwest Georgia Poultry Show in Calhoun, Georgia. It is a double-sanctioned show through the American Bantam Association. So we're going to have lots of fun. Be trying a lot of different things this show. We're going to be getting there about 9, setting up, and then broadcasting from 10 to 11. Tune in live. We'll probably give away a few prizes. After the show's over and we break down, we'll have all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear we're going to be selling and giving away. I'm going to try a little something new to interact with the folks there at the poultry show. I'm going to get a little microphone. I've already got the microphone, but I'm going to plug it into maybe a little what do you call those things? The speakers and amplifier. And then we're gonna have a little interaction. We're gonna try some chicken trivia on these folks walking by. They're gonna be able to win all kinds of cool Chicken Whisperer gear. We're gonna have a lot of fun with it. So hopefully we'll have a good time at the show. We're gonna try some new things. We also have a lot of things to give away from eggcartons.com. We'll have catalogs from them. We'll have Randall Berkey catalogs. We'll have some giveaways, free things all over the table from ManaPro. So I'm going to give away some ManaPro feed. I think I'm giving away 4 50-pound bags I'll actually have with me so they can take them right home. I'll have, I think six or eight bags of poultry conditioner, which is great for the show birds because it really helps with their plumage. I'll have some 8 bags or 10 bags of oyster shell that I'm going to be giving away. So it's going to be a really fun show. So if you're within a 2-3 hour drive, come on out to the Northwest Georgia Poultry Show. Also, this Friday night, the local county fair starts. So not only is there going to be the fair Friday night that opens, so I'll be there walking around the boardwalk and maybe I'll cheat and have a little corn dog and some cotton candy. I'm not a big fan of cotton candy, but wouldn't mind having a corn dog. But maybe they'll have the big old turkey legs. I'm not sure they have a turkey leg, but we'll see what they have at the fair. And then for Saturday, we'll be broadcasting live. So we're going to have some fun there this weekend. We hope you'll come on out. And those of you who didn't know that may now know the answer to a future trivia question later this week. So who knows? I'm going to go ahead and go over and get first off, today's show is going to be another awesome show, in my opinion. It's Wednesday. It's the second Wednesday of the month, which means it's another great episode of Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. Peter is the founder of First State Vet Supply, firststatevetsupply.com, and he's going to be joining us today, and we're going to continue our talk about salmonella and a little bit more detailed on salmonella pylorum that we have talked about. And, questions are, is it still needed? Why is that the only thing we test for when we take our birds to these shows? Why don't we test for something else? And all this kind of interesting questions we're going to have for him. So again, continuing our conversation with salmonella. Also, since we've had the developments of it may have come from food or mice and rat feces and manure piles and all this kind of other stuff, we'll talk a little bit about that. But based on so we've got a great show lined up for you today. Don't forget tomorrow, Richard Frudenberger, a publisher, technical writer for Back Home Magazine, will be the Back Home Magazine hour with Richard Frudenberger, and we're going to be talking about hawks and owls and how to prevent a predator attack from them. And then Friday is going to be a fun Friday, and also we've got the Friday coop contest coming up this Friday. Don't forget, sponsored by MyPetChicken.com. They provided an awesome chicken coop. The correct caller on Friday will have to name all 20 secret passwords we've given over the course of the last 20 shows or so. And the correct caller that can recite all 20 passwords is going to win this awesome chicken coop on Friday. Plus, we'll have other prizes to give away. Which reminds me, I wanted to let everybody know today's secret password is predator. Today's secret password for the coop contest is predator. All righty, let me get right on to the chickens in the news, sponsored by Meyer Hatchery. And I'm so grateful. Meyer Hatchery is sponsoring my trip up to the Ohio National Poultry Show, the Ohio National. And that's going to be, let's see, November the 13th. Really, the show is Saturday, November 13th, Sunday, November 14th. And we're going to be flying up, Jim and I, and I know my personal assistant, Christina, they're driving up, and then I think my publicist is coming down for the show from New York as well. So I'm going to have my entourage there, Pat.
All right. Wow, that's fabulous. Wish I could be there next year.
Have a good time.
Maybe
there's always next year. It's always next year. Yeah. But what we're going to do is on Friday, we're going to be actually broadcasting live from Meyer Hatchery. They're only about an hour to an hour and a half away from Columbus. So we're going to head out that Friday morning, head out there probably between, I don't know, we'll just say between 9 and 3, maybe between 10 and 3 based on the traffic and when we actually get out there. But I'm looking forward to taking a tour of their hatchery. They've already started putting the event on Facebook. Their fans and customers can come on out. We'll have all kinds of stuff, autograph pictures and goodies that we're going to be giving away. They may have some specials that they may be having as well. So we're looking forward to that on Friday. And then, of course, Saturday we'll be broadcasting live and having all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear for sale at the Ohio National Poultry Show. So we're looking forward to that. Wanted to make sure that. But today's Chickens in the News is sponsored by Meyer Hatchery. Let's see. This comes to us from Vasali Times Delta. And Tulare Advanced Register. And chickens ousted from Tulare. City Council votes against backyard coops, cites zoning regulations, an issue that has ruffled feathers of Tulare residents for the last month. The Tulare City Council voted Tuesday 5-0 to make it illegal to raise backyard chickens within city limits, citing existing zoning regulations. City officials have been researching the plausibility of allowing chickens as pets and food producers since mid-August after runaway chickens escaped a backyard coop on Hatch Avenue in Tulare. Right, now, I just want to give a little shout-out here and say this is how a lot of problems get started in the backyard chicken field. I know that, you know, on occasion over the last 8 years, I've had the, not recently, but when I first got started, didn't really know what I was doing. I had the occasional chicken fly the coop, but very, very rare. I would say maybe 2 or 3 times in 8 years I've had a chicken actually escape. But how many times have we heard people have to get rid of their entire flocks because they choose to keep a rooster? I mean, if I had a dime for every time I've heard, you know, rooster complaint means now I can't have to get rid of all my chickens, where if they would have been right. Smart and not kept a rooster and just had hens, then they would still have their hens in their backyard today. But for some reason, they chose to keep a rooster. I'm not getting into the rights to keep roosters right now. We've covered that. But again, if these chickens would have never escaped, then this may not have ever been an issue, and he or she would still be having their backyard chickens with no problems. The loose chickens triggered a code enforcement action against the chicken's owner, Frankie Miller, who said she favored having hens in her backyard for both companionship and their prolific egg laying, which provided a healthy food source. Miller, again speaking Tuesday in support of allowing hens in the city, disagreed with experts that say chickens are noisy, troublemakers, and disease spreaders. Okay, now that makes me a little livid there because I wonder how many articles of factual information was presented. These hens run free, Miller said. Hens raised under such conditions produce healthy, grade A eggs and do not spread diseases like salmonella, which is a common problem in egg-laying factory settings, she said. Miller's chickens have since been moved outside the city. Tulare Vice Mayor Phil Vandergrift said that residents seeking to raise chickens would be better served by seeking a permit from the city's planning commission. Cha-ching! More dollars, more taxes, more tax-to-death spending. However, Mark Kelty, planning director for Tulare, said that such efforts would have to go through the full public hearing process and that every effort should be made to avoid spot zoning. An email to Tulare officials on Tuesday. Here we go. This is the part that I'm gonna call the man on this. I'm gonna email him. I'm gonna invite him on the radio show. An email to Tulare officials on Tuesday from Bill Matos, M-A-T-T-O-S. Maybe I can get his email address too. An email to Tulare officials on Tuesday from Bill Matos. Ready for this? President of the California Poultry Federation stated that any backyard chicken raising. Ready? Here's the quote. Drastically raises the risk of disease in birds and can create a myriad of sanitary issues with residents. So here's
outrageous.
This guy.
Outrageous.
Yes.
Oh, my
God. Bill Matos, B-I-L-L-M-A-T-T-O-S, you heard it here first, sent an email to the entire city council. Wish I had known this because I would have sent an email as well, debunking everything and anything that people could say about chickens. He's president of the California Poultry Federation, go figure. He stated that, again, any backyard chicken raising drastically raises the risk of disease in birds and can create a myriad of sanitary issues with residents. Still, poultry defenders pointed out that chickens as pets cause a fraction of the problems that dogs and cats create. I agree with that. In all the time I have raised chickens, I've had no problems and no sick birds, said Dawn Cole, who raises chickens in a rural Tulare County. Chickens do not bite, and they go right to their little coop at night. Some areas Tulare are in what Kelty referred to as residential agriculture, or RA zone, which would allow some farm animals. However, nowhere in central Tulare are there any RA zoned areas, she said. Councilmember Wayne Ross said that chickens are farm animals and therefore not allowed in the city under existing regulations. You know what? Dogs and cats, it's been proven. Documentation, dogs and cats are considered farm animals too, especially dogs. So, and under, you know, definition. So, they're county animals, not city animals, Ross said. Okay, that is perfect. That's his opinion. So, once again, folks, you hear it here first about how myths, rumors, stereotypes, misinformation, and people's twisted opinion comes into play when we're talking about ruling for backyard poultry or the keeping of backyard poultry, especially when it comes down to actual factual information. So, again, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you my word, folks, right here. I'm going to contact this Bill Matos, president of the California Poultry Federation. I'm going to ask him to back up his statement with any documentation proving it. I'm also going to invite him on this radio show. I bet he'll decline. And of course, send him an email and a letter. I may even get his email address. If I get it, then I'll announce it tomorrow on the radio show, and we can all send him emails about our backyard poultry and how they're not drastically raising the risk of disease in birds. We know that because we practice good biosecurity practices from the USDA APHIS program, which teaches us and has much literature out there for us to keep our birds healthy and happy. Again, you hear the public service announcement on this radio show about how we can do that from the USDA APHIS program. I may actually have to send him over that website and some materials, actually. I may have to get his mailing address, send him some mailing and some materials from the USDA APHIS program about how we can keep our birds healthy and happy. So, in our backyards.
Right.
So,
well, you know, Whisper, he represents the poultry industry in California. I mean, they're the big super mega farm people. So, I'm on their website right now. So, you know, we've seen this before where the industry will just come out and bash backyard poultry, and I think they're afraid of competition, but I don't know why. But there's absolutely, like you say, there's absolutely nothing to back up that statement, and he really needs to be taken to the mat for it. Where's the proof? Absolutely, where's the proof?
Yeah,
anyway, it'd be wonderful to get the California Poultry Federation president online to talk about where he got his information to make that kind of an outrageous statement. You go, guys.
Absolutely. And what his agenda is. I mean, I guess really we all have an agenda. But obviously it's very transparent what his agenda is, being the president of that group.
Yeah, and they have on their website, they have a little section on backyard poultry, too. So it'll be worth reading about. Anyway, you see, it depends on who's speaking as to what the truth is. The truth is not always everybody's truth, especially if there's economic interest there. Anyway. But anyway, it'd be wonderful to get him on the website. I would love to have him on there and just talk with the industry. Of course, we've had industry people on before. We had the Rose Hill poultry people that raised, what was it, 23 million in one batch. It was something amazingly huge. But anyway, they should be afraid of poultry flu because the way they raise their birds makes them especially vulnerable to diseases. The way backyard birds are raised makes them especially not vulnerable to diseases.
Yeah, I'm going to their website now. You reminded me, and just to get a little head start here, California Grown Means, California Fresh, California Poultry Federation, and you said there was something on here about backyard birds. Is it on the homepage there, Pat?
Yes, it is. It's. Let me just back up here. They have question and answers about avian flu, but that's not what. Let me go back to the home site. I don't see it. Yeah, but it said backyard poultry. They had a section on backyard poultry.
Maybe it comes up. I'll refresh several times and see if it may come up. California Poultry Federation. It's C as in cat, P as in Paul, I as in ice cream, F as in Frank, .org. That's www.C as in cat, P as in Paul, I as in ice cream, F as in Frank.org, California Poultry Federation. Let's see what we got here. And it may be something. Okay. Hang on. Oh, you know what? Maybe it's on this little flip here.
Well, I think it's a link because one of their links took me right to the USDA website.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, I'll keep continuing.
Let's bring this up. I think it's worth having maybe another show and another discussion on it, even if you can't get the president. I'll spend some time studying it and getting up to date on it because this is pretty important for backyard flocks. There it is. There's a video. It says what backyard flock owners need to know.
Where do you see that? I'm sorry, folks.
It's right on the homepage. It's on their homepage.
At the top, at the bottom?
There's a little video. It's animal diseases. Well, I'll send you the link.
Yeah, send me the link.
Oh, it's under animal diseases. Go under industry info, and then animal diseases, and then it says backyard biosecurity video. I'll post it on the chat room.
Okay, absolutely. And, yeah, please do, because this is important for all of us to know. Otherwise, I wouldn't be spending time on it. But industry info, animal diseases, okay, backyard biosecurity video?
Yep.
And that may be actually my video.
Yeah.
No, that's okay, I see, gotcha. But you said there was something that said what all backyard chickens need to know or something, or was this the link that
you
looked
at? Yeah, I flipped by it a little too fast.
No problem. Hey, well, anyway, that's the website, folks. I'll be doing some research. I'm going to invite this gentleman on the radio show. I'm going to challenge him on a statement to give us any type of factual information to back his statement up. Otherwise, it's just hearsay and poo-poo. So maybe he does have some factual information. I'd like to see it and read it because I think at his level he needs to back up what he says in some articles like that with some kind of factual information. So,
especially with his position, he's got to be newsworthy and factual.
Yeah. All righty, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we come back because it's the second Wednesday of the month. It's another great episode of Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. Peter, again, is the founder of First State Vet Supply. Just go to firststatevetsupply.com. Today we're talking about, go figure, salmonella, and specifically a little bit about salmonella pylorum in our backyard flocks and in the show flocks, and why we still test for that when we go and enter your bird in the show. And anything else, we may even have some open lines. So we're going to come back right after this short break and talk with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Manipro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manipro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty, we are back. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, because it is the second Wednesday of the month and another great episode of Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. So it is now time to welcome to the show Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor with First State Vet Supply. Hey, Peter, welcome.
Hey, Andy. Hey, Pat. How are you doing?
Hey, Peter. Great. Peter, I want to thank you for that poster. It came, and I was showing it to some friends, and I think they almost threw up. it's the diseases of chickens, and of course there's this chicken that's dead and kind of gutted, and oh my goodness. So I decided not to have it framed for the living room, but I'll take it to our poultry club.
Yeah, it could be a little
and share its wisdom there. Yeah, but thanks for sending that.
You're welcome. It's a great tool, actually, for everybody who rears poultry should really.
Yeah.
Have one handy if they're interested in, finding out what's wrong with some of their birds. It's a great tool for doing postmortems and that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, and plus the anatomy. I mean, it's all right there. So mm-hmm. So it's a very valuable educational tool. Yeah. I just wanted to let you know what their first response was. I think they were expecting a poster of some beautiful chicken, looking cute. Said, I got something to show you guys. Look at this. And then I unroll it, and they go, oh.
Yeah, not that time around, that's for sure.
I'll present it differently next time. I do know that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if it's not appropriate for your living room, Pat, maybe you can put it in your kitchen. Put it on the refrigerator.
too big for the refrigerator, but no, I think I'll keep it rolled up until we need it for a demo. Oh dear!
While I was holding on, I was listening to the steel out of California. They're a wild bunch out there anyway. They obviously can't pay their bills, number one, but number two, they have passed some recent laws now. They're not going to be able to keep chickens, forget what year it is, 2014 or so, in cages out in California like they do now.
That's right.
And
thanks to the Humane Society, they got it on the ballot.
Yep, it's good. Driving the industry out of the state. As a matter of fact, Nevada has offered for the chicken companies there to move in. I just thought it was an interesting thing. But they always, all these organizations, just don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but all these organizations are the mouthpieces for the poultry industry. We have one here the same way. The Delmarva poultry industry call themselves DPI. Anytime anything is said about the broiler industry or anything, they are right there. And they're always trying to put down the backyard crowd and everything else. And they're responsible for why we have this idiotic avian influenza testing here, which is the biggest hoax being played on America.
And, I agree with that.
The state of Minnesota has been living with avian influenza for I can't remember how many years, and they have a program in place because it affects their turkey flocks that they rear on range. So, one of these days we'll go into all of that and kind of expose it for what it is. Not to say that it isn't a disease that could wreak havoc. It certainly can. But I don't think it's going to do that anytime soon.
Well, and it's not a disease of the backyard poultry chickens that we need to be really concerned
about. Not as a general rule. No, I agree with you. And the interesting thing here is they have never implicated a backyard poultry flock in any of the outbreaks that we have had here in past years, nor have they ever done it in Virginia, where they had a huge outbreak several years back. Even by their own admission, from all the flocks that they tested during the entire outbreak, and I have that data. I have the whole article written by their own veterinary people, where not one backyard flock was infected, not one.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
They just don't. They just think that the backyard group is a reservoir for diseases, and while that certainly can happen, it's not the norm. It's not the norm. All you have to do is ask yourself, how come they're the only ones that have the problem? I mean, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. And I can take you on any poultry farm here, and, there is no biosecurity. A little tiny sign at the end of a driveway saying, keep out, is not effective. Just not. And trucks go in and out. From the owners of the farms, some of them are, most of them here are farmers in their own right, either soybeans or corn or whatever. So they drive on and off the farm all the time. No disinfection takes place whatsoever. So there isn't any biosecurity. It's a big buzzword for them. They want you to do it, but they're not going to do it. And they're not going to do it because it costs money. That's plain and simple. Anyway, we're here to talk about Salmonella Palerm, if you'd like to, and I brought this up because I get questions all the time from folks that call me and want to know why in God's name, if the disease really isn't prevalent out there, why we're still testing for it. The real reason behind that and the real reason that we still test for it is because when your birds get it, they don't necessarily show you that they have it. Some birds, we went through this with the Alpha Salmonella enteritidis the last time I was on. Some birds will shed it. Some birds won't. Some birds will live with it very well. Others die. So it's for this reason that we continue to monitor flocks. I think it's an important thing. It's one of the few times that I don't mind some government intervention, and it's one of the few programs that they've done right. But at any rate, it's important to keep it in check. It's important to keep it out of flocks. And right now, the only place that I'm aware of that we see this is in pheasants, quail, and game birds of that type. Everybody else seems to be pretty much free of it. I haven't seen a case of this in commercial poultry in quite some time. But it is important that we keep it that way. For instance, this is a very highly host-adapted bacteria. And by host-adapted means that it is very comfortable in chickens. Where some other diseases, they may infect a chicken, they may not infect a chicken, or the severity of it might not be so bad. This particular one is very, very comfortable and very homey with chickens. Really likes it. A very old disease, first discovered somewhere back in the turn of the century, back around 1899 to 1900, in that range. Originally was called ciliary white diarrhea. Has since changed to be called Salmonella Palerm. Very hardy, very easily spread. The mode of spread with this disease. And this is the other problem. I said earlier that it doesn't shed evenly. All birds don't shed it. So let's give you a real quick scenario here. You've got some eggs in the incubator. You're waiting for them to hatch. Just can't wait. They're some of the best-looking eggs you've ever had. Tomorrow's hatch day. Tomorrow you go out to the incubator, and they started to hatch. But you can't figure out what's going on. Some of them hatched. Some of them haven't hatched. And we see this lots of times. And it isn't always obviously caused by Salmonella Palerm. But something just isn't right. You know, some of the eggs have hatched. Some are dead in shell. Some are out and they're dying. Others are hatching and they're peeping away like crazy, like they normally do. This is how salmonella acts when it's spread through the hatching egg and into eggs that you're going to hatch. The hatch will be straggled, which means that it's dragged out through the day, where normally most of your birds, if they were all set pretty much at the same time, they usually hatch within hours of each other. The contamination goes on from there. The birds that were born that were basically free of salmonella from your breeders that did not have the disease will now pick it up in the hatching tray from the shell, from the shell membrane, all loaded with the bacteria from those chickens that were infected. So the need to prevent this disease is huge. It just will spread from one bird to another. Uninfected hatch mates all of a sudden now, you know, not instantly will get the disease, but they will, over a period of time, you know, start to show this disease as they start to grow. And so that the droppings that are in the incubator, or what we call the offal, spelled O-F-F-A-L, this is all the waste from the hatch, the membranes, the fecal material, the eggshell. So now you've got a large percentage of birds, you know, that have hatched, but their potential for being infected is now 100-fold. And this will now go on out into your grow-out pen. So you didn't know it. You didn't know you had it. You still don't know what you've got. You know, you've looked at this, and maybe you thought it's a hatching problem from the standpoint of maybe my incubator wasn't right. You know, I've been wanting to get a new incubator. Now's the time. This is proof. The incubator is bad. Maybe they were just old hatching eggs. All these scenarios run through your mind, because the last thing that's going to come to your mind more than likely is Salmonella pylorum. And this is why, you know, it is important that people still continue to test their birds, become part of the NPI program for testing them, get certified, makes it easier to sell your birds because you are certified. You're selling a superior product to the person, for the most part, that isn't tested and selling birds that are free. And I don't know all of the NPI programs, but they have a program for mycoplasma. They have one for avian influenza. And I don't see a problem with testing for those things. This just leads to your credibility when you're trying to sell eggs and when people say, well, your backyard flock, you know, nothing but a reservoir. You say, oh, no, mine are free of pylorum, mine are free of mycoplasma, mine are free of avian influenza. I got the certificate right here. You know, pretty hard to argue with the facts. And I would love to listen in on the program when and if you do get this character from California to come on and defend himself. It'd be interesting to see if he'll do that. Probably not.
Yep, well, we'll definitely invite him on, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to see what he's got to say. You know, where the facts.
It'd be good to have you both on at the same time. That would be a very interesting discussion.
Yeah, maybe so. I could, you know, I could always work my time around to probably suit what you folks need, but that's one of the big scenarios that you're going to see with this thing. And you know, you're going to go out and buy a new incubator, and you're going to put more hatching eggs in it, and the scenario is just going to go on and on until you figure it out. You know, in the brooder, you're going to see birds, you know, that unthrifty. And again, you're going to look in the brooder, and you're going to say, "Ah, I've seen this before. They're droopy. This is coccidiosis." And so you run to your medicine cabinet, and you get out your, you know, anti-coccidials, your sulfadimethoxine or your Ampryl or whichever one you want to use, and you put it on them, and maybe the sulfa drug did a little bit better. They start to look a little bit perkier and say, well, I've got this licked, and as soon as you stop the medication, there you go. They're back at it again, and then the mortality starts. And the interesting thing about this disease is you'll go on for maybe 2, 3, possibly 4 weeks, the mortality will stop, and you think you're out of the woods, but now you've got a bunch of contaminated birds. So it's really one of those diseases that we still need to test for. If you don't want to get involved with the mycoplasma or the avian influenza part of it, that's fine. But this part here is important. So some of the things that you'll see with birds that have this disease. They lack chilled right off the bat. Some are sleepy, stand around, droopy winged. Another one we see is birds that will start chirping loudly as they try to defecate. They don't eat. Labored breathing is another symptom. And also excessive water consumption. A white, chalky, diarrhea-type dropping is possible. And again, it's hard because you may see some birds that you get from a hatchery with pasted-up vents. We've all probably seen it.
Mm-hmm.
This can be generally one of three things. It could be Salmonella pylorum, but if you bought them from a reputable hatchery, probably not. But it also could be Salmonella typhimurium, which is quite common, or it could be E. coli. So
yep.
It's important to know where you stand on this particular disease.
Peter, how do you treat it? Can you treat the Salmonella pylorum, or you just have to put the whole batch down?
This is a disease that is, if birds are positive, they're destroyed. Generally,
and then, can you disinfect the incubator? I mean, will bleach and a good scrub get rid of the pylorum?
Any good disinfectant, as you all know, I'm partial to Hoxene, but, you know, disinfect your incubator. I wouldn't use bleach because of the odor that it leaves behind and has that slimy feel to it. But anything that you want to use, if you don't use Oxene, you don't want to get Oxene or whatever the case is, whatever suits you should kill it. The main thing is to get rid of all of the offal from it, the egg waste, and that material should be disposed of properly. That to me is, you know, is very important that be done. But it is a disease that birds test positive and they're destroyed. And usually they don't do the whole flock. Like I said before, some birds don't have the disease at all. So they usually will go through, once they find some positive birds, you're probably better off to go through and do every bird on the place and eliminate everybody, clean up. If birds have been running around outside, one of the things you can do to sanitize the ground is to rake up all the droppings, rake up all the feathers, and that type of thing, and then coat the ground with, and I don't know what they would call it where you live, but I'll give you a couple examples. It's called hydrated lime.
It's lime
that's been chemically altered by heat. And in some places it's called pickling lime. Some places they call it burnt lime. But it's not your everyday lime that you would put in a garden or you would put in your on your lawn. Usually the only place you'll get it is a co-op or someplace like that or a place that sells farm-type fertilizers and that kind of stuff. But what it'll do is it'll dramatically change the pH of the soil and make it almost impossible for anything to live there. The drawback to it is you'd have to do your yard more than likely small parts at a time because birds can't walk on it. It'll burn their feet.
Wow.
Okay, but it is a method to actually drive away earthworms, too. They can't live in it either, and earthworms are a source of intestinal parasites and worms for birds, so it can really do a good job. But that's one way of cleaning it up. Any brooders and things where birds were would have to be totally disinfected and cleaned. And I am a fan of leaving things sallow for at least 30 days, meaning to leave it empty of all chickens if possible. If not, you have to go back and keep an eye on it real close. One of the other things in severe cases with this here, we will see almost like a muscular dystrophy type thing, muscle problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen cases with this in a severe cases where there will be water actually oozing from the skin. Swollen hock joints and some the wing joints might swell up and have what we call nodules on them as well. So, again, this is one of the main reasons that we want to keep this under control. Want to make sure that we don't bring in birds that aren't tested. I don't know, you know, how many of the backyard folks down there in the Atlanta area, you know, have the flocks tested or anything else. But it would be something that would be good, and it isn't something that at the end of the day is going to break the bank. Most of the time, a tester will charge you just basically what it costs them for the antigen to do. It's a simple test. You take a drop of blood from the underside of the bird's wing, from the brachial wing vein. It's one of the largest veins in the wing. Put that on a test plate that's lit from the backside with light, and mix a drop of the antigen around. One of the critical things is to take the plate and then rotate it for about a minute, and then put it back down. It's about a three-minute test, and they can do a bunch of birds at the same time by marking in a grease pencil each square on the grid with a bird's wing band or identification number, or however you're going to do it. And if it looks like it's sandy and grainy, or it's clumped up, lumpy, it's positive. If it looks like two liquids mixed together, it's negative. It's what they call a whole blood test, which is different from some of the other blood tests that are available for other diseases where they use just the serum, and they're a little bit more complicated. This one's very simple. Most states require that a tester be licensed by the state, usually a half-day or a one-day course where they go into one of the state centers and take a written test after some schooling on what it's all about, how to read the test, and then they actually will do some actual testing so that they can understand how to do it, what it looks like, and everything else.
Hey, can I interrupt for just one second? I normally never do this in an interview, but I had to keep everybody up to date, and I just posted in the chat room that I've got some news, and because I'm and Peter, I know you're on board with this and everybody, but let me tell you, I was on the California Poultry Federation website that we were talking about earlier in the show, and I've got, and I think Christina has posted the gentleman's email address in the chat room. But let me tell you, on every single page here, it looks like, especially on the home page, guys, there is a banner, and the banner has an icon on it that says, "Your ad here." And then it has wording, place your ad on the CPF website or daily headline news newsletter and have your message appear before the eyes of the California poultry industry's major decision makers. Call 209, blah, 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 blah. So right now, as we speak, my personal assistant, Christina Duncan, is calling this, I don't know if it's a young lady, a young man, Cody, and getting information about how we can place a backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer ad on their website. The cost involved, the information we have to do, but it's right here on their website. So we're going to see if they're I think it may be illegal to discriminate. I don't know how that works, but we'll see if they let us put an ad on their website. If they don't want us on their website and they claim, oh, it's $1,000 a month, then we'll probably just call back and say we're somebody else and see if they get a rate of $100 a month. We're going to have some fun with this, and I'll keep all of you posted on how exactly this is going to happen. But if we can get I already have a banner ad. It's on the Ohio Nationals website, ohionational.org. And so we've already got the banner ads to send them. But Christina Duncan right now is calling, whether she gets through, gets an answer machine, whatever. But we're going to pursue this and see, because they're advertising for people to have their ads on their website. So we're going to try to get a Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer ad banner on the website here at the CPF in California. The president did make that statement that we read earlier in the Chickens in the News. So we're going to see what the rate is. We're going to see how we can actually put an ad on their website that they're asking for people to put ads on their website. So we're going to see how this works. If they're declined, then we'll contact our attorneys and see if, you know, how that works. Can they, you know, if they're asking, why is this, are they discriminating against us? If they come out with some $2,000 a month, then we'll call back and pretend like we're somebody else and see if the rate comes down to $100 a month. And then we'll make that national news, of course, is whatever we can do. But this is going to be very interesting. Yeah, power to the poultry, as people are saying in the chat room. So Christina's on the line now. She's going to call me back once she gets all the information, and I'll share it with all of you guys. But, hey, we're going to try to contact them and place an ad on their website as they are because they're asking for people to place their ad on their website. So I just wanted to share that with you because it's actually right now going on, but I wanted to stop the show here and share y'all with that. When I was just looking at their website and said, your ad here, oh man, this would be great if we could put a Chicken Whisperer ad on their website. So I'll keep you posted, folks. We'll see what happens. She may actually call me back before the show's over with an update if she actually got in contact with this person, Cody Penfold, for information and what we need to do to place the ad on their website. How cool would that be?
That's mega cool. That is so cool.
the only way to do it is to beat these people at their own game, and a lot of them don't like the facts. It's easy to run your mouth in one direction, but when you're called out on it, it's a total different deal when you can't back it up. So,
we found that with city council members. They say, oh, we got a lot of negative feedbacks and emails about backyard chickens, and then when we do the Freedom of Information, they had one or two. I mean, they just, there wasn't a there, but go ahead, Whisper.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
I just got an instant message.
You know, you ate one donut, and when you really ate a half a dozen, you know?
Yeah, right.
Christina just contacted me. They're emailing her as we speak, the ad rates and ad prices, and they're going through her email right now. They also have a daily, newsletter sent via email that I can also advertise on. So how cool is that? We're definitely going to pursue this 100% and see if we can't do this. Now, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. I am going to try to email and contact the gentleman who made that statement. I want to invite him on the show very kindly. All we want to know is the facts. I don't have, anything personal against this man. But his statement, I just want to see if he has factual information to back up his statement that he made, backyard chickens drastically, increase the chance of fleas and poopy problems. So yeah, I definitely want to see how he can back that up. We are going to invite him on the show, but we're also going to see if we can't place our ad on their website and in their daily email newsletter. So anyway, okay, we're going to
Whisper. You're such a feather ruffler, you guys. just go ruffle their feathers and see what happens. This is wonderful.
I got information here. The commercial, the daily newsletter actually is sent out to commercial producers and pharmaceutical companies. How about that? So that would be even cool. Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show is advertising to commercial producers and pharmaceutical companies that produce, obviously, probably the pharmaceuticals for all the injections that the birds get. So how about that? I would love to be an advertiser on that. So we'll see. We'll see how that works. Yeah, maybe we can take up. Actually, if it's we'll see what kind of what numbers come in as far as how much it costs. But that may actually, because we in the last 18 months of doing the show, we do have our sponsors that of course pay for the airtime commercials just like any radio show. But we rarely ever go to our listeners for any compensation. And of course if this ends up being a little over our head, then maybe we can take a collection up to see. But now I'm getting some information now here. It looks like that to advertise on the website, it's approximately $100 a month. But she hadn't received the email yet to confirm that. That may have been verbal. So that's something that I would definitely do if we can get our banner ad for Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show on their website. For $100 a month, that would be well worth it, don't you think?
Yeah,
that's
like a good
absolutely.
Deal.
Yeah. And then that way we can get folks to listen in and follow the Chicken Whisperer and all the work that we're doing about promoting backyard poultry and the benefits of promoting backyard poultry. So show poultry as well. So very, very cool. So we'll see if we can get this done.
They're not going to like it, Whisper. You know, you're rattling the cage of the gorilla.
Hey, okay, everybody who's in the chat room who's looking at the camera, hang on, let me see how many people are looking at the, there's a few people here that are actually looking at the webcam. I want you to go ahead. I know there's maybe a little bit of a delay here, but you'll see me doing something in the webcam here, and then, of course, you'll hear me say it. But
be nice, Whisper, be nice.
What I'm doing, okay, your comment, Pat, was they're not going to like it too much. Well, what I'm doing is I'm taking two fingers, and I'm opening my eyeball really, really wide, and I want you to look in there and see if you see any I give a poop.
Let's see. I don't see, but you do have brown eyes. I do see that.
I got
that.
Blue eyes. The color may be off. But I'm opening up my eyes really, really wide, and you're saying they're probably not going to like it too much, and I want to see if you see any any concern in that eyeball at all. Do you see any concern in that eyeball? I don't see any concern in that eyeball. Do you? So,
nope, anyway. I see absolutely no concern in that eyeball. Only sincerity. That's a little closer than I want to see your eyeball here, Mr. Of course, we want to be for the backyards chickens. We don't want to be against industry. So let's just be really clear about that. It's not possible to replace industry and the food supply that they give our nation. So I don't think they. I wouldn't want to do any sort of combative kind of things, but. Certainly, there's room for everybody here, and certainly people that want to have backyard flocks, they can do it very safely and for the local food sustainably. But anyway,
anybody who listens to this show for any time, anybody who listens to me and to my show knows that I'm about the most fair guy on the planet. We've had the commercial egg farmers on the show. In fact, the gentleman who had 23 million chickens, we've had him on. We were very respectful. We've had city council members on. We've had code enforcement agents on. We've had everybody on.
The Humane Society of the United States.
We've had them on, absolutely. Paul Shapiro we've had on. So with them, HSUS. So it's not – anybody who listens to the show knows. If they're listening to this one show, then they're going to think, wow, this guy's over the top. But we've had the USDA on talking about the APHIS or the NAI, the National Animal Identification System that they were trying to push. We've had them on. We've had Monsanto. Of all people on the planet, I brag about occasionally because they are very limited on the kind of media that they do. We've actually had Monsanto on this radio show live for a whole 2 hours talking about GMO products. So we do have the respect there. And no, I don't want to ruin that. But like I said, that statement that he made, which really, really made me livid this morning. And so it made us really get on this and we're going to follow it. Again, we're going to invite him respectfully on the radio show. We want him to back up his statement with any factual information or studies, which he may have documentation, and we would welcome that on the show. Then we'll basically counteract that. We'll get his actual opinion. We'll ask him straight point on and say, because your position with the California Poultry Federation is this part of your agenda? You feel like it's going to hurt commercial farms? Are you worried about disease? And if so, you know, here's our information regarding the diseases in the backyard flock and really just pick his brain. I mean, he's obviously, maybe he has some true concern. Maybe he's just doing this and using that title to scare tactics to not let people have backyard poultry. So we just want to ask him all the questions of how he gets away with saying things like that if he doesn't have any proof to back it up. And if he's got proof, we would love to hear it on the radio show. So that's what we're going to do. Hey, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue. looking at the comments in the chat room, priceless. So we'll go to commercial break. We'll come back again. Our special guest today, being the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. You want to go ahead and check him out. Take advantage of his consultation, $25, and you can if you have any sick or injured chickens, he can help you out. And again, if you purchase something from FirstStateVetSupply.com that you might need anyway to treat your birds, then the consultation fee is waived. So we'll be back continuing our talk about salmonella and salmonella pilorum right after. Well, I was going to say right after this short break, but the switchboard disappeared. So give me just a second to bring that back up. But yeah, hopefully I'll be getting an email soon from Christina about the advertising rates that we've got, and maybe we can get our ad on the California Poultry Federation website so we can get people listening to the show to benefit backyard poultry. Okay, looks like we may be back up and running here. Okay, so we're going to take a break. Switchboard disappeared on me, but now it's back up. We'll come back right after this short break.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today. We've got about 5 minutes left, continuing our conversation about Salmonella, Salmonella pilorum, with Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply, and Pat, you're back on live as well. So let's continue for the last 5 or 6 minutes what we need to let these folks know.
Yeah, well, when we left off, what I was saying about the disease itself was that it doesn't shed evenly through the bird. So what this means is that you're going to have some that have it and some that don't have it. And it's important, you know, to keep that in mind. One of the other things that you might want to take a look at with as far as symptoms are concerned with these birds, the symptoms will mimic other diseases that you're familiar with. So that's another problem because it leads you in a wrong direction. In other words, they will be listlessness in these birds. They won't be wanting to eat. And those are all symptoms of coccidiosis. Pale combs, another symptom mm-hmm. of coccidiosis. Diarrhea, depression, where they just stand around and this kind of thing. So, you know, it is important, in my personal opinion, you know, to get involved in this part of the NPIP program. The incubation time for this disease, that's another thing. We didn't mention that. But from 1 day to 3 weeks. That's a huge problem there, because birds can be infected at 1 day of age from exposure, or it may take 3 weeks for it to develop. Generally, a high percentage of birds, better than 50%, that have been exposed will be positive. The other problem is they may not show it to you. They may and they may not. So it's a very tough disease to put your finger on in the beginning. Mortality can start almost immediately, and then again it might take 2 or 3 weeks. I have seen years ago hatches where almost 100% mortality was right in the hatching tray.
Wow. Peter, is there ever immunity built up in any of the chicks that survive?
Not to my knowledge, no. And generally, you don't allow it. When you find it, you get rid of it because they're carriers. The other thing is, you may have a high degree of birds showing what we call morbidity. This is birds that appear sick, but they're not dying. By putting a sulfur drug on them may make them look better, because it is salmonella. It would be a disease that would respond to a sulfur drug medication, but it will not cure it. There's no way of curing it that I'm aware of. And the birds that are carriers may go on and just appear to be healthy as all get out, may lay the same amount of eggs that the other pen mates have always laid, and then again may be the other way around, where they very poor numbers of eggs laid, and a number of eggs may hatch poorly. So it is a disease that needs to be eliminated, and keep it that way. Here's the other thing. If you have birds that are infected with this, most people start selling their excess birds. So now you're taking birds that are infected, and you're selling them to whoever, and you know, first thing you know, it's all over the place, and that's one of the reasons, you know, why this is a mandatory type thing. Now, in the essence of time here, on a post-mortem inspection, you'll generally see an enlarged liver, but the enlarged liver can also be other diseases. Lymphoid leucosis comes to mind as one right off the top of my head. Retained yolk sac in baby chicks, where the yolk sac is not absorbed, and the yolk sac will be what we call congested, and what that means, it's almost like a little marble, and it's almost hard as a rock. Okay. You know, there may be water around the heart, or what we call pericarditis, infection of the heart sac, enlarged kidneys, peritonitis in the body cavity. I talked earlier about the possibility that some birds may leak water from their skin. Usually, in a mature bird, the ovums inside will be congealed and cheesy and hard and encapsulated with material and off-colored looking. So there's a whole lot of things that go along with this. Urates in the kidneys.
Things.
Yeah, and it's a nasty disease.
It's nasty is right. Yeah. Gosh, there's a question in the chat room, Peter. It says, this is from Walter. Does it happen in older birds, and do they recover? And I think what you just said, even if they recover, they become carriers, so they ought to be called from the flock.
The majority of them will be carriers. And if you go back and look, when we talked about Salmonella enteritidis the last time I was on, some birds test positive, some don't, right in the same flock. It's very rare that you'll get 100% participation within the flock. That may be some birds may be just genetically superior to others, and their immune system might be stronger in the fact that it's not compromised by something else. If a bird has coccidiosis and is exposed to this, it's certainly going to make it tougher for them to fight this off and not be a carrier. All of those things will play a role in this particular disease, as they almost do with any other disease. When you have one disease in place with a bird, E. coli, mycoplasma, or any of those things, then something else generally coming along will make it much, much more difficult for birds to survive and not become infected by the other disease problem.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, it's certainly a serious disease to take note of and to take action with.
Yeah, and again, it's one of the few times where, in my mind, government programs have actually been beneficial to everybody. And this is a disease that's tested by the commercial people as well. It is to their advantage not to have this disease. They test their flocks. Your commercial breeding stock, where, egg-laying companies get their breeders from, they are tested, and their degree of biosecurity is unprecedented. Those people, because when they sell you a bird as a primary breeder source, they are guaranteeing that they are free of all these diseases. So you can't get on their place unless you have, a letter directly from God. You have to go take a shower, put on clothes that are theirs. You just have to do the whole thing. It's a really complex way of doing things, but they have to keep everything out. They can't afford to have a disease come in and destroy valuable breeding stock. So
yeah.
This is the one time, like I say, where I'm on board with this particular program with the NPIP, and I think it's a good idea for as many people as possible to get certified. Then you have less and less problems. At least this one isn't a headache for you, and it's usually something that you do once a year. I think the question was asked one time before, what happens if you become infected in between. That's no different than any other disease, whether it be human or animal. You can at least say that you have been tested, and that's the most important thing.
All righty, Peter. Thank you so much for joining us today. As always, lots and lots of great information, and you'll be joining us again here in a couple of weeks. The fourth Wednesday of the month will be another episode of Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown, founder of First State Vet Supply. Visit his website, firststatevetsupply.com. for all your backyard poultry health needs, and you want to make sure you keep them healthy. So, Peter, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All righty, folks, it is now time for the chicken trivia contest we're going to have today. And today it's going to be a Chicken Whisperer T-shirt along with a Chicken Whisperer wristband and a Chicken Whisperer bumper sticker. So you'll get a T-shirt, a bumper sticker, and a wristband, and we'll probably throw in a magnet in there as well. And I know people are going to know this, so we're going to make it a little bit high stake. Caller number 12, we'll be looking for caller number 12 at 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. We'll take caller number 12 if you know the answer to the following trivia question. Again, Chicken Whisperer T-shirt, magnet, bumper sticker, and wristband. And let's see here what we have here. Okay. What is the almost globular tuft of feathers on top of the head of some fowl, as in the Polish? That's what we're looking for. What is the almost globular tuft of feathers on the top of the head of some fowl, as an example, the Polish? That's what we're looking for. What's that little thing on top of their head? And Polish had this. So that's what we're looking for. If you know, caller number 12, 347-637-3237, get a little Chicken Whisperer prize package that'll be sent out to you. What is the most, what is the almost globular tuft on feathers on the top of the head of some fowl, as in the Polish? That's what we're looking for. If you know the answer to that, 347-637-3237 at right here, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We'll take caller number 12. Caller number 12 is what we're looking for. So, Pat, you still with us?
Yeah, I certainly am. Absolutely. I love the Polish. Our police chief here in Lexington, Virginia calls them designer chickens. And they're sort of like the Phyllis Diller, you know, of the chicken world with that crazy head top thing. I just think they're great. Yeah. In fact, one of the things, that, of course, with this heat, I remember from when Christine Heinrichs from the Society for the Protection of Poultry Antiquities, the Polish can actually die of heat stroke because they don't have any insulation. They have too much insulation up there, and they can't disperse the heat. So that's I was thinking this summer about getting some Polish and thought, no, it's just too hot. I'd have to dunk their head in water. But anyway, no, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I love these questions you guys are coming up with. Christine, love the questions Christine's coming up with.
She's definitely getting us some good trivia questions for the contest.
We can't just
give this stuff away. I mean, come on, you got to participate, have a little fun, answer a question right or two, and then we'll give it away. So
that's right, and it's so educational. That's where even crossword puzzles. I mean, you learn something every time I do it anyway. It's a good learning tool. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hate to tell you this. We did have caller number 12, but they just hung up. Caller from area code 304. I don't know what happened, but you were
Oh, no.
Yep. I don't know who it was, but got to rub it in a little bit. Caller from area code 304, you were in queue. So now what we do is we go to the what was caller number 13. Caller number 13. So this is what we're doing here. Okay, we're going to the phone lines right now. All righty. You're live on the air with Andy and Pat, caller from area code 404. Looks like we just have one from that area code, so caller from area code 404. You're on the air. State your name, and we know you're calling from Georgia. Okay, they didn't want to talk to us, so let's go back over here. It looks like we'll go to caller 13. Looks like they called back in, so it's their lucky day. Caller calling in from area code 304. You almost missed out. Tell us your name and what state you're calling from.
Darren Vance. I'm calling from West Virginia.
Alrighty.
Oh, West Virginia. I just traveled through there. Thanks for calling in.
What's your first name again?
Darren.
Okay.
Darren, perfect. Hey, we got about 90 seconds left, Darren. What do you think the answer is?
Is it top hat?
Not the answer we were looking for. I've called it the top hat before, but we're looking for, I guess, the technical name of that, the technical name. So does it match the answer that I have sent over here? So, again, it has to match our answer. I've called it the top hat before myself, but we're looking for a different answer here. We got about 60 seconds, so here we go. Area code calling in from area code 561. You're on the air. What state your name and what state you're calling from?
Hi, Andy. This is Laura. I'm usually dragging eggs in the chat room, and I'm calling from North Palm Beach, Florida.
Hey,
Laura,
dragon
egg. Real quick, 40 seconds. What do you think the answer is?
40 seconds. It's called a crest. It's from a vaulted skull.
Yes. That's what we're looking for is the crest. That's exactly right. I know you're on Facebook, and I should have it written down, but I don't save that information for privacy reasons. So if you'll Facebook me, Laura, your shipping address, I'll get you all that out to you down there in North Palm Beach, Florida. Thank you very much for listening and participating today. All righty, we got to go. Pat, 10 seconds.
Yep, 10 seconds. That's all it takes. Blessings to you all. Thanks so much for joining in, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.